TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that, so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let TruGreen take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn, while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. Get started today by visiting TruGreen.com. Because we all love a beautiful lawn, but not all the work that it takes to maintain it. So, you do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Visit TrueGreen.com today. That's TrueGreen.com.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast with Kyle Porter. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson. And we are here in the middle of the biggest bracket event in March 2019. WGC Match Play Bracket Reveal. The ping pong balls are rolling right now, and Kyle, the tension is all over the place. It's seasonal, baby. It's March. How you doing?
I'm good. Is it bad that I'm only thinking about the Masters?
I was able to get fired up about this in the last hour and a half since we talked about doing a bracket reveal live. So like as they've started to roll out, and then, I mean, it's still going on right now, but like, you know, we mentioned, man, like Xander didn't catch a good draw. I started to think about, you know, if I was making picks here, if we decide to make any picks, the idea that you got to look for the players who, like in the NCAA tournament, you know, their seed doesn't necessarily match their form, right? Where like some teams have a certain seed, but they've had a player get injured or they just aren't playing as well. And so they are over or under seeded. And I think that we have that too with the style being the different pools based on the World Golf Rankings.
Yeah, I think it's hard because it's almost like the golf match play thing should be awesome, right? Like it should be amazing. But it's like how many memorable moments have we had from this event? You know, and I don't know if that's a matchup thing. I think part of it is it gets really slow when you get into the semis and the finals. And so I think part of the fun of watching golf is how fast paced it is, how everything's back and forth. I mean, think about the Players Championship Sunday. You're like, oh my gosh, there was like an hour there where it was lunacy. I mean, it was crazy. You had no idea who was going to win. You got Rory, you got Rom freaking out. You got Jim Furyk, he had all these different things, and with match play, it's like, oh my gosh, when are they going to hit the next shot?
Right.
at least on the weekends. And so, theoretically, it's great. The course is great. Some of these pools are pretty great. There's the drama of like there's five or six guys that need to get in or that need to get into the top 50 to get into Augusta.
Ooh.
But for whatever reason. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But for whatever reason, it just – I don't feel like it – I don't know. I don't feel like it meets, like, how good it should be in theory.
Interesting.
I mean, do you remember what's the most memorable moment you have from the match play?
Hey, you're talking about anything that happens around this time of year that isn't the NCAA tournament, right? Like, I very much look at myself as not a good person to answer that. I'm not an average sports fan. I'm not average in that case. Like I cannot represent the majority opinion on this one.
I mean, it's probably Tiger beating Stephen Ames 9-8, and that was like a first round matchup or whatever, second round.
And that's only become more popular in lore to go back and watch it. Like I didn't watch the beating of Stephen Ames live. I've just watched it about 75 times since.
Right, and it's weird because you've had. I mean, 2 years ago, we got DJ and John Rahm on a Sunday at this great course. And I don't know. It just, for whatever reason, you remember. I mean, I remember these individual matches from Ryder Cups from like 16 years ago. And I have no idea what the DJ John Rahm, you know, match what any of them did, like what happened other than DJ winning. And so I don't know. There's just something, there's something different about it. That's, you know, it's still, I mean, I think in terms of a takeaway for Augusta, it still matters. Like what is Spieth going to do this week? What if he goes 0-3? And then you're like, wow, what's going to happen at Augusta?
Okay, I can ride with the idea that a really poor performance in pool play Wednesday and Thursday, playing everybody with you know, supposedly a good breakdown from the different stratospheres of the great golfers in the world right now. Is there if someone goes 3-0 and then makes a run, is there any positive there? Like, is there any connection between a match play success and stroke play success?
I don't know. I mean, we saw Bubba last year. He won it, and then what did he do at the Masters? I think he finished, I don't know, top 25 or something like that. So I don't know. I think that, you know, to me, I'm gonna look. Well, I'll ask you, because I've been kind of grinding on this for a while. When you're going into the Masters, what matters to you? Is it recent form? Is it history at Augusta? Is it just, I mean, just as like, I'm not even asking as like for an in-depth, like, oh, these are the stroke, you know, this category or whatever, but just like feeling wise, like what do you get more into in terms of like trajectory for these players?
Okay. For the Masters, I have, well, we haven't had the Players Championship as a data point before, but there was a point where I was relying very heavily on the recent finishes, and like specifically finishes, not even necessarily recent statistics or strokes gained or whatever, but just looking at your, you know, your last five or six starts on the bio page and sort of using that as a measure of what I was going to do for Augusta. I think I've been proven wrong or led astray enough times by that method that recently, and I don't know when this changed, but it has moved more and more into trying to select a group of like five or six golfers and just going gut feel from that. Like just saying, okay, yeah, based on the landscape of the field at Augusta, I think that these five or six players, based on course history and, you know, their own personal history, recent form, these guys seem like the right ones, but just you can't feel super confident that the recent leaderboard finishes represent recent form, I guess.
Well, I think that's probably, sir, we've got a group being revealed here. Jason Day, Phil Mickelson, and Henrik Stenson are in the same pool. That's pretty salty.
I'm ahead of you.
Oh, are you?
Do you want me to break the news? Oh no, that you're
Joe Furyk. Wow.
Yeah.
So Furyk's the fourth. Jeez, that's crazy. So that's like four. That's four Hall of Famers right there.
So Tiger got Patrick Cantlay, Brant Snedeker, and Aaron Wise.
Oh my gosh, he should just blow through that.
I know. And that was the other thing. So like, I started looking at, it's funny you asked me that, because I'm probably currently tweaking my system for making Masters predictions. Like the idea that I might look at Tiger Woods, no chance I would pick him to win, but he might be my top 10 lock.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I think what you're saying earlier is the right way to do it, because I feel like people get it. I heard Brandel on, I guess it was his own podcast, talking about how he picked Mike Weir to win the 2003 Masters. And you're like, okay, that's great. Like, I'm glad for that. But like it's not a, it just seems like a fool's errand to try to like pick the winner. But if you're saying here's a group of six guys, and I think the winner or at least one of the contenders probably gonna come from this group, that seems like more of a nugget to give to view to people that are curious, that are looking for picks for their pool, for their fantasy, for betting, just for enjoyment. You know, that seems like more of the way to do it. And so when you do that and you start digging in a little and you're like, oh, Paul Casey's got like one of the best scoring averages last 6 years. He just won the Valspar. People who are casual fans are not going to be like, oh, Paul Casey at Augusta. But you start looking at it a little bit, you're like, I'm going to put Paul Casey in that group of seven or five or whatever it is. And so I think that's probably the more, I don't know, like honest way to present something to people who are reading and listening.
Okay. So, let's run through some of these early groups. I'll just, do you have any early group takes?
Let's see. I've got them all in front of me right now. Rory's group is hilarious. Rory got Matthew Fitzpatrick, Justin Harding, who's from South Africa and needs to hang on to that 47th position in the world golf rankings to get into the Masters. And then Luke List is the fourth guy.
Yeah, he's going to eviscerate him. That's 3-0 advance.
Yeah, it's pretty soft.
So I love DJ versus Hideki, right? Like that's pretty awesome. In group one, I guess we lean DJ, right?
Who is DJ, Hideki, Shea Reve, and who is the fourth?
Brandon Grace. Brandon Grace is the C player.
Yeah, that's right.
The group two is Justin Rose, Gary Woodland, Eddie Pepperell,
AP,
Emiliano Grillo. I could see any one of them winning.
Yeah, yeah. I think, man, Grillo is. I'm gonna keep bringing this back to the Masters because that's
where your head's at right now.
Yeah, but I think Grillo is pretty fascinating for Augusta. He's such a good ball striker. I think him or Eddie P could win that group. We got Koepka, Norin, Hao Tong Li bucking his head, and Tom Lewis. Alex Norin has a great record here. Adam Sarson, adamsarson.com. He's got all the match play records, and he's got them broken out by WGC, President's Cup, Ryder Cup, and then he's got the WGCs broken out by different course. And so he has Alex Norin. He's 8-3 on this course in the last 3 years. He's been really good.
Adam Sarson is at press conferences, does he introduce himself with the microphone as Adam Sarson, adamsarson.com?
Adam Sarson gifts.
Yeah.
He should.
There's an ACC media member. Well, his name is Dan Tortor, and I hope I'm not messing it up. Dan Tortor, dantortor.sports.com. Coach, you got three seniors back. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's very good stuff. Yeah, I agree. Right, so I don't have any confidence that Brooks is going to emerge there, because that was kind of my approach to this. And again, I'm giving you and the listeners the full admission that most of the time the match play has not grabbed my attention. But on this Monday, as I'm sitting here looking at this with a bracket reveal show, I'm fired up.
Brooks, I'm just like, in non-majors, I'm kind of just like, whatever. I don't know. I mean,
I'm out on Brooks right now for the Masters.
Yeah, I am too. Although Shane Ryan did this deal with Mark Brody, and they did it at the end of 18. It's on golfdigest.com. Where they looked at strokes gained in majors compared to like strokes gained in non-majors.
Sure.
And obviously Koepka was at the top, but he was so much better than his regular play at non-majors that it was like, it was obscene. I mean, it was a crazy number. Anyway, like the entire, this was a list from like 2000, I think 14 to 18. So it wasn't just for 2018. It was kind of a longer period of time. And it was really interesting because you can kind of see Tony Finau was up there for being better at majors. It's a pretty intriguing list.
I think my Brooks Koepka is, why I've got like warning signs about his recent form. Why is that? He hasn't been very good, right?
Well, he almost won Honda and then he played really bad at Players. I think he was like T58 or something. T56.
Okay. Justin Thomas leading group five as the A player. He gets Keegan Bradley, Matthew Wallace, and Lucas Bjerregaard. Is that correct?
Yeah, JT might commit a homicide in this group.
You don't need length, though, right? At Austin Country Club?
No, but he almost won it last year. He's one of three guys gaining over two strokes per round on the field this season. He's going to destroy this group.
Group six is the group of death. Bryson DeChambeau, Mark Leishman, Kiradek Appabarnrat, and Russell Knox. Russell Knox could win that group.
Yeah, he could. I kind of want Barnrat to win it, though.
Isn't Barnrat kind of vicious in match play? Did I hear that on the broadcast?
Let's see here.
Maybe he's got a quarter. He's got like a quarterfinals run or something. Probably snuck up and won a group.
He's 6-2 at Austin Country Club. Ooh. So yeah. How about this? How about Bryson has never played in match play?
Because no one wants to play with him.
So last year he was not high enough in the world rankings to qualify for match play. How crazy is that?
Yeah, but we've discussed before about how it was after what, June or July. I mean, it was a late in the season, very, very late in the season and later in the calendar year upward movement for Bryson.
Yeah, so he WD'd from Valspar last year. He's 95th in the world.
Yeah.
And then he finished second to Rory at Bay Hill. He moved up to 61st. And then when he won the Memorial, he moved up to 22nd, and he's moved all the way up to 6th since then.
Yeah, I would take Leishman, Appabarnrat, or Russell Knox in group 6. Sorry, Bryson. Yeah.
I would love a Barnrat dub there.
Group 7, Francesco Molinari, Webb Simpson, Thorborn Olesen, and Satoshi Kodera.
Yeah, I like Francesco there.
Yeah. Don't overthink it. Is that probably the thought there?
Although he's 4-10 in this event, which is not good. But I don't know. Part of me is like, Do you just throw some of his stuff out? Like, because he's been a different player over the last year and a half.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna pull out match play records, then I just point to the Ryder Cup, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, oh god, true. He might go 3-0.
Yeah.
Group 8, John Rahm, Matt Kuchar, JB Holmes, and Siwoo Kim.
Rahm's gonna be my pick to win it all.
Okay. Nice.
Just spoiler, but he should win this group.
Okay. Who else? Siwoo or maybe Kuchar? Maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Kuchar's really good at this event. He's according to Sarsen, he's 23-9-3 overall at match play events, or at WGC match play events, and he's 5-3-3 on this course. So, I mean, who knows? But I just think, we do this thing where we're like with Rahm at the Players, it's like, oh my gosh, he collapsed. Mm-hmm. But then you like pull back, and if you can just forget about Sunday, if somebody's just coming in and looking at the scores, you're like, oh man, Rahm's been playing great, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, if you remove the context of like what happened and just look at the results and the scores, he finished his top 10 at Valspar last week again. Like, he's playing ridiculous golf, but it doesn't feel like that because of what happened at Sawgrass.
We'll be getting into the last 8 groups still being revealed. Group 14, currently ping pong balls bouncing around. We'll get into all of it right after this.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
So they went really, really hard on trying to play up the conspiracy part of this at the beginning of the broadcast. What's up with that?
It was unbelievable.
Right? It was very inappropriate.
I saw that and I was like, who thinks that the WGC match play is rigged?
Like, who cares?
Who, like, has anyone ever thought that?
Yeah.
And Ryan Burr of Golf Channel, who's, by the way, he's awesome on air, but he's like having to scream at the camera because he's got these ping pong ball like air horns next to him that Mark Russell is pulling ping pong balls out of. It's kind of crazy.
It's very, very crazy. I'm sure that their audience is receiving it and loving it. Certainly we are. So
did you notice who the like on the reveal, they've got the kind of ghost like the outline of the players at the bottom?
Yeah. Is it all Rory?
It's ever like all 64 of them are Rory.
It is Rory, isn't it?
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's so great.
Oh, Bubba Watson and Jordan Spieth, group 15.
Joel Beal, Golf Digest said, Ryan Burr appears to have chugged a keg of Red Bull before the WGC match play drawing, while Mark Russell looks like he's trying to remember if he picked up his dry cleaning.
Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth, Billy Horschel, and Kevin Na.
Wait, say that again. Bubba who?
Bubba, Spieth, Horschel, Kevin Na.
Hmm. That's kind of a good position for Spieth, I think.
Ooh, okay. I think that's just a fun. All right, let's go back. We talked about 9. Xander gets Rafa, Hatton, and Westwood. That's wide open, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Paul Casey gets Cameron Smith, Charles Howell III, and Abraham Answer. Paul Casey, right? Don't overthink it.
I kind of like Cameron Smith there.
Okay. I'm going to have to just wait on you being right about Cameron Smith and me stop trying to make Cameron Smith happen.
He's really good.
He's real. And I've watched enough that I agree. Okay. I know he's really good, yeah. But I got to stop thinking that he's the guy to saddle up with.
Yeah, it's fair.
Tommy Fleetwood's group is group 11. He gets Louis Oosthuizen and Kyle Stanley and Ben Ahn.
That's the best ball striking group in this event.
If there's any conspiracy with these ping pong balls, it's just the stripe show that group 11 is.
But seriously, who's out there being like, God, Kyle Stanley got screwed. This thing is rigged. This is rigged. I mean, they like went to links to show us that it wasn't. It was hilarious. But yeah, that group that's the group I would follow around if I was in Austin.
Group 12, Jason Day, Phil Mickelson, Henrik Stenson, Jim Furyk. We mentioned that group. Just Hall of Famers. Legends. Yeah.
Jim Furyk needs to win this group and I think get to like the Sweet 16 to get into the Masters. He needs to win this group and win his Sweet 16 matchup to get into the Masters.
Wow. How do they decide what the finish is on like the records and for the points?
What do you mean?
Like if you go 2-1 in match play but don't come out of the group, do you finish with a leaderboard finish that is higher than someone that goes 1-2?
No, you're all like
missed cut basically.
T64 or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. So then if you like everybody that loses in the Sweet 16, they're all T17 or T9 or I don't know, whatever it is.
Got it. Group 13, Tiger Woods, Patrick Cantlay, Brant Snedeker, and Aaron Wise. As we mentioned, that looks like a dub for Tiger Woods.
Tiger's never played here. He hasn't played in Texas since 2005, but he's 33-10 at this event with three trophies. And here's what makes his Ryder Cup record look even worse. On AdamSarsen.com, he has him at 50-17-2 as a professional in match play events. 50-17-2. And his team Ryder Cup record is just egregious. I mean, it's just awful. But that's his individual match play record.
How long has the WGC match play been going? And how many of Tiger's WGC wins are match play events?
Three of them. It started in 99.
Okay.
So he won, I don't know. I think he won them all in the mid 2000s, like 05, 07, and 09 or something like that.
Group number 14, Tony Finau, Ian Poulter, Kevin Kisner, and Keith Mitchell. Not Keith Kisner and Kevin Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That would be great if they switch names. I want to like Poulter out of that group. Finau worries me. He is 3-1 here. 2-1 here. Has he been playing well? I feel like I haven't seen him very much. I don't know. I'll probably pick Poulter out of there.
Group 15, as we mentioned, Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth, Billy Horschel, Kevin Na. You hinted at it. You think Spieth's going to be able to at least make it to the quarterfinals?
I don't know. You know, he had an interesting interview with Steve DiMeglio of USA Today, just talking about how he feels like it's close. It's right around the corner. And I think the good thing is that's kind of what you have to say. Like mm-hmm. That's what you just keep saying until it happens. And I think it will happen. But I don't know. Does it feel close? Like I've watched him. Is it close? I don't know.
It depends on whether or not you think Jordan Spieth, once it clicks, he can immediately not only be in a position where he feels confident about his game, but also beat the rest of the best players in the world. And I don't think that's one step. I think those are two steps. I'm not Jordan Spieth. I'm not like in his camp, but I think that there needs to be first Jordan Spieth putting together four rounds of golf that has him feeling really confident about where everything is at, not close. And then once you get back up to that level, besting everyone else. Before I'm picking Jordan Spieth to be winning a major championship, I think there needs to be a first step where you're showing on with some level of consistency the ability to remain in that same conversation where your once in a generation type potential and talent has put you as like one of the 5 to 10 best players in the world.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is with guys like him and in a sport like golf, I think it could click. I think it could all click together at once at a major. I don't know if it could all click together at once at like Colonial. I don't know if that's possible. But I think if you like it could click in the first round at Augusta of like, oh yeah, I know how to play. And then by the weekend, you get into a spot that you're pretty comfortable with, which is leading the Masters. And that's a place where you're like, oh yeah, I'm better than all these guys, you know? And so I think in an event that heightened and that big, it could all click at once. And I mean, I don't know if that's a good bet that it will. Although somebody whose average finish is like 3.5 at Augusta seems like a pretty good bet at 50 to 1 or whatever
right.
he is.
Right, right, right.
But I do think it I agree with what you're saying, but I do think at a major it could be a little bit different.
At Augusta, it could be different for just because of the his own yes. like personal experience there.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
What was the? Oh, never mind. We talk about Jordan Spieth enough. All right, let's keep it moving. Group 16. I've got just like a running mental Google Doc of just general Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy big picture questions, just because I find them interesting. And I'm afraid that I just find them interesting in part because we have so much fun discussing it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what makes them compelling, though, I guess?
Well, I mean, I had this goes back to like 16 Masters. I had lunch with Shane Bacon on the veranda, and I'll never forget talking about this. We're talking about how there's like 11. I mean, this is what you and I talk about. Like, there's 11 guys that matter, and the reason that they matter in large part is because most of them are super compelling as figures, personalities, but also competitors. And so I think even within that group, like Jordan Spieth and Rory kind of stick out. So I think that that's part of it.
In group 16, rounding it out, Patrick Reed just made a change with the swing coach, Sergio Garcia, Shane Lowry, and Andrew Putnam.
Yeah, I love Sergio here. Reed's playing terrible. Reed went 77-70. Patrick Reed gained 2 strokes on the field in the first round of the Valspar and shot a 77.
So where did it fall apart?
He was minus 6 strokes tee to green.
Oh.
144th out of 144.
Oh.
It was unbelievable. So yeah, I love Sergio in this spot. Reed is, I don't know, he seems like a little bit of a mess right now.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of where I'm going back to the NCAA tournament comparison. Patrick Reed's overseeded.
Yeah, for sure. Because he had David Ledbetter club, but before his round, like he was taking his on his takeaway, Ledbetter standing behind him like holding the end of his club, like showing him how to take it away before his round on Friday.
Not good.
It was crazy. It was nuts. So yeah, not great momentum for P. Reed going to Augusta.
All right, and in your we went through group winners and you spoiled it a little bit, but what was your thinking in landing on Rahm as the winner, and who else were you thinking might make a deep run?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I go recent form and I go history at this course, and Rahm has both of those things. He's got, I'm trying to figure out how the bracket breaks here. Let's see. I don't know how it breaks, but yeah, he finished runner up to DJ a couple of years ago. He's been playing really well. And again, we do the thing where we think that he's not playing well because he fell apart, but the reality is that like his scores to par, his strokes gained have all been like those numbers have all been there. So love him. I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody. I like JT a lot generally, but also here. Rory's won this event before, and there's this thing that happens with guys where they go on these runs, but then it like culminates with a win, and mm-hmm. then they kind of fall off a little after that. And I'm fascinated to see if that happens to Rory. I don't think it will, just because he's kind of existing on a plane where he is capable of existing at like 2.7 strokes gained per round, which is ludicrous. But he's also like, he can kind of live there.
I mean, he could get bounced in the quarterfinals. I feel like there's, but I would not consider that fading, right? Like the,
I mean, he should definitely win his group.
Right. That's, yeah. He should absolutely win his group and probably should go 3-0.
Yeah.
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 I'll take,
so yeah, I like Rahm, Rory. I like Poulter. And I need a fourth. I'll go RCB. That's like half the European Ryder Cup team.
Gary Woodland. No, I don't.
That's your guy?
No. I was because I think the Eddie P might come out of that group. Griot might come out of that group. No, all right. I'll go with JT. I'm gonna say JT wins it.
Okay.
Just, I mean, that's like picking UNC right now in a re-racked Sweet 16.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. They're really good. They're pretty deep.
Yeah.
They got a lot of players that do a lot of things well. They go really fast.
This is how I feel about the Masters. There's like 12 guys I'm saying this about. I don't know. He's it's a par 69 for him. I don't know what to tell you. Like, what do you want me to say?
So deep in it.
Yeah, I really am.
I'm lost.
I was texting. I was texting friends of the show, Sean Martin and Brendan Porath, and Sean was like, "You need to pace yourself on this master stuff." And I just sent him like this screenshot of 27 tabs I had open on like, you know, amateur research, and I mean, I'm lost in it.
Well, it's not good. No. I mean, the thing is you're gonna at least land, and you're not gonna be lost, right?
Yeah.
Some people. And like, if, for example, if I was down there with you and I was coming right off the NCAA tournament, I would be behind, you know, I would land and I would not have my feet under me, and you're going to be on the forefront of everything. You're going to have a good feet. I mean, the results are going to be whatever. The golf that happens is the golf that happens. But in terms of having a good feel for the field, no one's going to have it better than you. So that'll at least be a good thing.
I can tell you that Keegan Bradley is 200, or he going into Valspar last week, he was 207th in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour.
I think I did know that. He's playing really, really well for having such horrible putting recently.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I mean, I can tell you just all kinds of things that my wife would be embarrassed that I knew about.
And we're going to unveil some of them on Wednesday.
What a tease. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.